One, two, three, go!
You believed safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. You're just asleep, and it's time to leave. Come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Your brand new power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus?
Come
said your name. The thing that filled your veins was more than blood. It's the kind of love that washes sin away. Now the door is open wide and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come. So come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive.
Sing it again.
He's calling us to walk out of the dark. He's giving us to
Mary.
day when my faith shall be sight. The hard clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trial shall resound and the unknown shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Yes, it is well. Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well.
Amen, amen. Amen. Pray that's true for you this morning. Let's, as we get ready for this morning's message, would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with excited hearts to worship you. Father, we love to sing your name, praise to the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you are our Savior, and it is well with our soul. And Lord, we look forward to that day where you will come back in return, Father, and we get excited about that. Father, while we're in this world, use us. Use us for your glory. Use us for your name's sake. May the name of Jesus be carried throughout this community and out this world. So, Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, and we thank you for that we get to give back and support our missionaries, Lord, all throughout the world. Would you continue to make the harvest ripe, Father? And we pray that you would allow new believers to come to know you. But Father, we pray we work on our own hearts, our own lives, that we'd be followers of your word, not just hearers, but we'd be doers of your word. So Father, just move on our lives. And Father, for those that are sick or going through a difficult season, Father, we just pray that you would heal them, restore them. Would you just allow your peace to overcome them, Father, and strengthen them. So Father, we just cry out to you. You are a good God, and we love to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Hey, this morning, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Luke. We've been in the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 this morning. And we've been in this series called All In, where we're kind of looking at what it looks like to go all in with Jesus. Because the whole book of Luke, all throughout Luke, there's different dividing lines. He's saying, this is what it looks like to be in with Jesus, to follow the Lord Jesus, and this is what it looks like to live according to the world. And he's trying to give us ways to kind of decipher. And last week, I looked at a passage. If you followed online, we kind of talked about a lot of us in life like to ride the fence. You know what I mean? In riding the fence, sometimes we say, okay, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm not going to, you know, give in to a bunch of sin and go out and party and all that. But I'm not sure I want to take it that serious. I'm not sure I want to get that serious about my faith. And so today we're talking about this idea. We're going to see a sinner. We're going to see our Savior. And we're going to talk about how we need to surrender and really go all in with Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. Maybe this is a familiar passage to you, but we're going to dive into it. I'm going to read the whole passage, then we're going to kind of break it up and kind of go through it a little bit. So let's turn to Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. It says this. This is Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw him, they grumbled, he's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone out of anything, I restore it to full fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, as we get diving into this passage today, I just want to ask, how many of you are really good with directions? When you're out driving, you're like, "I can get there." Some of you are like really good at directions, like, "I just nail it," right? Now, how many of you are not so good at directions, like maybe on the terrible end, okay? Like you moved like to a new place 7 years ago and you're still kind of figuring out how to get to Dylan's, you know? You're still kind of Googling it. You know, there's some people that are just a little bit struggle. Maybe kids, if, you know, if there's any kids in here, I want you to know, what if your parents dropped you off at, let's say, McDonald's? Would you know how to get home? Or would you say, "I live near a park," right? You know, that's what a lot of us, there's some people that aren't very good at directions. Some of you are good directions. I got to tell you, my dad was really great at directions. A lot of times we would go, the thing about him though, he was just kind of old school in directions, okay? So when we would go to Florida, like for a vacation, we would drive there. And so I remember him pulling over at the Hardee's, and he'd be at the Hardee's with the map out and trying to study which road he was going to take through Kentucky, you know. And we just kind of watched him. And my dad was kind of one of these guys that said, "Okay, you go north at the Hardee's, and then you go about 2 miles, and you take a left at the, you know, you're going to run into a Casey's there, and then you're going to take a right when you kind of see the big tree that's starting to bloom, you know, and then when you smell the grill, you're there." And I'm like, "You know, Dad, just give me the address. I will throw it into Google, and I'll be there in 2 seconds, okay?" So, you know, he's just a little bit kind of like the old school. But the thing is whether you're good with directions or not, I think a lot of us get used to landmarks, don't we? We kind of recognize, you know, probably a lot of you, you know, you're heading the right direction, or maybe on every day on the way to school or on the way to work, you always pass a certain spot, and you're like, "Okay, I've got a couple minutes left," right? And so that's kind of what happens. But I want you to know also that what happens is when you get to a crossroad is where you make a decision, right? And that's where you got to decide which way to go. And so it becomes a little bit more difficult. And I think one of the problems with Christianity today is that we kind of treat our faith and following Jesus a little bit more like, you know, we're just kind of trying to follow landmarks. Okay, I've been to church and I prayed this week. I opened up my daily bread and we kind of treat it as landmarks where it's just, I'll get to Jesus when it's convenient for me. But what following Jesus, I want you to know, is more about being a crossroads, okay? Because when you've come, when you're confronted with the truth and the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ, it's a crossroads for every one of us. We're going to decide which way our life will go. And so I want you to know that today we're going to talk about the good news and the hope of Jesus, and I pray that you're going to talk about what we're looking at is surrendering our lives to Jesus. And that's what I want us to see, and because that's the heart of the gospel. Jesus tells us in the last verse, he's going to say, "I came to seek and to save those who were lost." So we're going to be talking about a man, Zacchaeus, who's up in a tree. But the thing about him, I want you to know, he had a very divine appointment with a very sovereign, seeking, saving Jesus Christ. And he names him by name and he says, "Come down and I want to do business with you today." And Zacchaeus had a life-changing experience. And I pray that that would be true for you today as we look at, we're going to see a sinner. And we're going to see ourselves in that, and we're going to see a Savior in Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk about our need to surrender. Because, you know, indecision, like I talked about earlier, last week, if you listened or watched online, there was a chair, and I was kind of talking about a lot of times we straddle that fence, and we kind of live in the middle of the fence, but you can't live on the fence, because Satan owns the fence. We got to be all in and surrender ourselves to Jesus, and that's what we're talking about today. So, context is so important as we study God's word. So we're in chapter 19. We're looking at verses 1 through 10. I want you to hear just a little bit of what's going on in chapter 18. In chapter 18, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus welcomes children. And he talks about, he says, "No, let the children come to me." And we're going to talk about that, then Jesus' heart for the children. And then you also see he has he kind of exalts a widow. And he also talks to a blind beggar there. And he also talks about rich people. He kind of makes this comparison. It's hard to get into heaven if you're rich because of the blindness a lot of times. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And so I want you to know that the gospel, the good news, is he's going to teach us today is for a chief tax collector. So let me tell you what that means. That means that the good news, the gospel, is for everyone, okay? It means it's for the widow, the wealthy, the kids, the crook. I mean, it's for everyone. So Jesus doesn't care, you know, what you showed up in, what kind of car you drove here in. I want you to know the gospel is for everyone. So we're going to dive into this. In verse 1, he says this, he entered Jericho, and he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So in order to kind of dive into this passage, we got to learn a little bit about Zacchaeus, kind of put it into context who he's talking about. So Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Why is that a big deal? I'm going to tell you why that's a big deal. That means in order to get to this position, he actually had to bribe other tax collectors. Okay, so he was incredibly corrupt because he would have like tried to bribe and pay his way to this position. It also means that you collected money that was owed to the Roman government. But after you paid the Roman government, everything else you pocketed was yours to keep. So the stuff you lined your pockets with, the extra you kind of lined, that's how he got so wealthy. And he was a Jewish man collecting for the Roman government, which means he was a betrayer, right? It means he was, collecting and blessing the Roman government over oppressing his own Jewish people. And so he was a betrayer. And he was also the chief tax collector, which means he got a cut off of all the other tax collectors, okay? So he got a cut off of everybody. So it was pretty incredible. So that's what we see. So chief tax collector, he was hated by the Jews. And just to kind of understand his world a little bit, I want you to know, he was someone that really nobody would go to his house. No self-respecting Jew would go into his house. And he wouldn't go into a self-respecting Jew as well. And he wouldn't go into the synagogue. He wasn't really welcome there. And he couldn't eat meals with other people. Nobody would come and eat meals with him except for people that were struggling, going through life. Basically, he was surrounded only by crooks and outcasts and rejects. I mean, that's who he was hanging out with. So that's a little bit about Zacchaeus as we dive into this. In verse 3, it says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, we don't know a whole bunch about why he was seeking. He may have been unhappy with life. He may have been a little bit dissatisfied or kind of at the end of his rope, stressed out to the max. We don't know exactly what was going on, but somehow he was curious. We know he was curious, and no matter what reason Zacchaeus had for going to see Jesus, let me tell you, God brought Zacchaeus to that day for a different purpose. He brought him to, the Holy Spirit made sure that he was going to be at the right place at the right moment for Jesus to speak into his life. And I want you to see that on some level for all of us. You may be here and I'm just came with some family friends. I'm just here with, the dance group. I want you to know that God's got a purpose and a plan for you being here and hearing about the love of Jesus Christ this morning. And the good news is if you're seeking him, let me tell you, if you honestly seek Jesus, you will find him. That's what God's word tells us. So we're going to keep on reading on. So this is in verse 3. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Okay? What does that mean? He was short, right? Anyone ever feel short, it's like you look up, and I was like, unfortunately, one of my oldest sons outgrown me, so I'm starting to feel shorter all the time. The thing is Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? Anybody remember the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Yeah, where else in church? I hope they keep teaching that song. Because, you got to love wee little man. I mean, we just got to love that part about it. So he was a short guy, so he couldn't see. So here's what he does in verse 4. It says, so he ran on ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see him, for he was about to pass by. Now, this would have been highly unusual for a man to be running during this time, especially a wealthy government official. If they were running by, you're probably wondering what's going on. And I got to tell you, there's really probably only three reasons most of us run today. One of them is probably you want to get in shape. And that's a good thing. All of us need to maybe get in shape a little bit. And then the other reason is maybe defense. Maybe we have a mailman or two out there that's been chased by a dog, And so you're running from the dog getting chased a little bit. And the other one is maybe you've stolen something, You wonder if someone's sprinting out the store, they're probably, getting away with something. Let me tell you, Zacchaeus was not running for any of those reasons. How Zacchaeus was running, he was running what I would call like a, You think about a parade. I think about the May Day parade and the boy that just keeps kind of running along the parade to kind of watch the different floats go by and kind of follow along. And he's kind of curious and he's got this childlike attitude. And remember, Jesus had just taught in 18, he said, let the children come to me. We need to have a childlike faith. And what is it that keeps us from a childlike faith? A lot of us, it's our pride. It's our dignity, it's our egos. Oh, no, I'm not going to raise my hands. That would be if people look at me. Or I'm not going to come forward. You know, everybody will stare at me, but I really need prayer, you know? And we sometimes our pride and our ego gets, it's one of the things that really keeps us from sometimes really understanding and opening up and surrendering to Jesus Christ. So that's the sinner. That's who the sinner is, okay? Now we're going to look at our Savior. In verse 5, it says this, and when Jesus came to the place, and I want you to know, Jesus knew exactly where he was going. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I'm going to stay at your house today. Now, some of you, you know, we don't know a whole bunch of what went on, but we know this is what I think happened. There was a huge crowd following Jesus. And that huge crowd was, you know, probably following him. A lot of religious people kind of trying to catch him and try to trip, you know, oh, we caught you doing something wrong, Jesus, or trying to hear what he's teaching about. But I think the whole crowd would have stopped and said, what's going on here? Wait a second. What's going on here? Because there's a grown man up in the tree. First of all, that might have been a little bit awkward. We see a grown man, and they also know, look, it's Zacchaeus. It's that sinner. It's that guy who cheats us, who betrays us. And, you know, I think about this. I think the whole crowd would have been stopped and maybe a little bit kind of caught in awe, because it's kind of like, you know, remember when you were in school and over the intercom in your classroom, they said, could you send George to the office, you know, and everybody like stops and they're like, I wonder if he's in trouble. I wonder if he's going to the dentist. And you kind of have a reason. They pat you on the back. Good luck, or we'll see you later. And so I think everyone, he singles him out. Jesus says, you know, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to spend some time at your house today. And I think a lot of people in the crowd would have thought, yes, finally, someone's going to get him. Oh, yeah, he's going to get what he deserves. You know, finally someone's bold enough and not afraid of Zacchaeus, and they're not intimidated by this guy who's cheated us. And Jesus, let him have it. Let him have it. And that's what they're, you know, possibly thinking. And then Zacchaeus, he says, hey, wait, Zacchaeus, I'm going to spend some time at your house today. And everybody would have been like, what? What? Wait a second, Jesus. Do you know who this is? This is the cheater, the thief, the steal. This guy's robbed every one of us. We're the righteous ones. Come spend time with us. You know, let us have a meal with you. And let me tell you, Jesus already knew that. He already knew what was Zacchaeus was like. And he knows the pain that he's caused and the disruption and who he's stolen from. Jesus knew all of that. And yet he still says, hey, I want to meet at your house today. I want to spend some time with you. And the crowd says, no, that's a defiled sinner. You know, nobody should go near him. But Jesus does. And I've got to say, how many of you are thankful that Jesus goes near and calls those that are maybe don't have it all together and people that don't have it all together? I know I'm thankful for that. You know, Jesus wanted to be with Zacchaeus. And he invites Zacchaeus, hey, you know what? When I spend some time with you and I'm going to have a meal with you, that means we're kind of in this together. You know what? I'm going to participate in your life. That's what he was kind of saying there. And so here's what he says. And a lot of us, you know, we acknowledge Jesus and his divinity and his kingship. But I want you to know also, Jesus is a friend and a brother and a savior. And we need to, you know, I pray that we would recognize and relate to Jesus as our friend, that he loves us. And that's what he's doing here. He's showing Zacchaeus God's love. And Jesus wanted to be known as a friend of sinners, and absolutely he was. And so, you know, I got to tell you, you know, thank God that Jesus comes for those. He didn't come to make just life better. He came to make us better. And not just things in our lives, but us. And he came to restore us and serve, you know, and go to the cross for you and for me. And I got to tell you, how many of you would say, you know what, my life's not all together. My life's pretty messed up. Anyone? Anyone? You know, my kids are a little crazy. You know, anyone? You know, and my house is pretty messy. Yeah, anyone there? You know, and maybe, you know, your life isn't really as good as you post on your social media platform. You know, a lot of us are in that boat, right? Well, let me tell you, Jesus loves you, and he is calling your name today. And so I want to, continue on in verse 6. It says, so he hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And I love this about Jesus. He constantly kind of upsets things. The religious norm would have been, hey, don't hang out with them. Don't, you know, be a part of that tradition of, you know, we don't hang out with those people. But here he says, no, I'm going to hang out with Zacchaeus. I'm going to spend time with him. And what do? They all grumble. And I got to tell you, sometimes that's the biggest complaint for those that are coming and trying to seek and understand a relationship with Jesus is, you know, what kept, you know, Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus? The religious people that were all gathered around, and so he had to go up ahead and climb up the tree. And sometimes I think that's how it is in life, you know. Sometimes we've got a little bit, you know, Christianity's really only for the grown-ups. The kids, you know, shoo them away. No, Jesus says, no, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them in Luke 18:16. And he also talks to a blind beggar. Who's the ones that talk to the blind beggar and say, tell him to be quiet? The crowd around him, they're like, be quiet. Tell him to be quiet. But Jesus says, no, bring him here. I want to heal him. And now with Zacchaeus, he says, you know, I'm going to call you out of the crowd and I'm going to spend some time with you. He would have done anything to spend time with a sinner like Zacchaeus. That means he'll do anything to spend time with you and me as well. And that's the beauty of this. And so I pray that we would not sometimes get so inward focused, because that's what happens. Sometimes you go to church for so long, you want to just kind of get to your seat and kind of find the best seat. And you kind of, you know, we get kind of comfortable, don't we? But there's people that walk in every Sunday that are hurting and need the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. And if you go and check on them and wrap your arm around them, God wants to use you. So I pray that we would never become just a religious club, that we would be using the gifts of that God has given us through his Holy Spirit to use and minister to the body of Christ. And so I pray that that would be true of us as well. In verse 8, this is how it kind of wraps up. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone out of anything, I will restore it fourfold. Now, the first thing he says here, he says, behold, Lord. Lord. The word Lord there, he's acknowledging that Jesus is now his master. He's in charge. He now rules over his life. And that would be enough right there for any one of us. That's a foundational point to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9, if you don't know this, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Zacchaeus' words there are admission. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm a guilty sinner. And he now sees the sign of humility before God. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, he was incredibly selfish, living his life for himself to build up his wealth, to build up his power. But instead, now he's become incredibly unselfish. And what that means is there's incredible life change. And I think any one of us that surrenders, really surrenders our life to Jesus, there's going to be life transformation. He says, behold, Lord, if I've, you know, I want to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've, you know, taken anything from anyone else, I want to restore it four times the amount. What does that mean? That means he surrendered. That means he went all in with Jesus Christ. And that's the entire point of James chapter 2, is that faith without works is dead. True salvation always has a tangible transformation. There's an evidence in our lives that God is at work, that he's doing a work in our lives. And we see that in Zacchaeus. And I want you to know, I want to be really clear here. It wasn't because Zacchaeus gave away this money that he was saved. It's because God changed him and transformed him. He understood the grace and the love of Jesus. Now he has a desire to do these good works. That's what he does. He's truly trusting the Lord Jesus, and that's why he would have given this away. Now, I want you to know that this crowd would have known what the Levitical law says. The Levitical law says if you've cheated somebody, if you've taken somebody from something, you pay them back that amount plus 20%. Okay? That's what you're required to do. But here, he's giving back 400%. So this would have incredibly overwhelmed the crowd and all listening here. He's making here restitution. He's not, you know, he's not making penance, and penance is, was a sad time in the life of the church where you actually paid God and you paid others for forgiveness of sins. No, he has a changed life. He's not just making things right because of karma and I did something bad, so therefore I got to do something good, paying it back. He's making a restitution as evidence that his life has been changed. And he's now received the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And I think that that's a beautiful example. Zacchaeus, that restitution is proof of his life changing. And so it's we need to sometimes, you know, maybe make things right as well. So what is it that you and I, what do we need to surrender to God today? Do we need to surrender maybe that longing for money and power or maybe our positions? Sometimes our expectations or our timelines, we have them on this timeline, and sometimes they're not happening fast enough. Maybe we need to surrender that to the Lord Jesus today. And maybe you've hurt somebody. What's God calling you to restore? Maybe you've taken something. You need to, you know, return that, or a broken relationship that needs to be healed. And maybe there's a you've hurt somebody, their reputation, because you've slandered them and you've shared gossip about them. Maybe you need to restore that. What is it that God's calling you today? Because we see this is the mission of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 and 10, it says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost.'" Let me tell you, friends, all of us, we're all in the same boat. We are lost without God. That's just the truth of it. Without Jesus, there is none righteous, not even one, okay? And without Jesus, it means we are dead to our sin and transgressions. Without Jesus, that means we are on the fence and we are on Satan's side and we are being used for his kingdom. We need to go all in and surrender for Jesus Christ. And the good news is if he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners, that means he is a friend of us as well. And there is good news. All we have to do is surrender to Jesus Christ, because the truth of it is, here's the truth. You and I, we are all Zacchaeus, right? We are all Zacchaeus. And we come up spiritually short. We cannot do it by ourselves. We can have no capacity to save ourselves. And we can only do that through surrendering our life to Jesus Christ and receiving as our Lord and Savior. And that's why we come down from the tree and we surrender to Jesus Christ. So I pray today that you would understand his grace. His good grace. It's free. It's rich, it's unsought, it's abounding, it's sovereign, it's entirely undeserved, and it's infinite, it's unchanging, and it's eternal. His boundless grace is for you and for me. Today, all we have to do is receive it. Let me tell you, Jesus is a crossroads. And so when you're presented with the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ, which way is your life going to go? And I pray that we would go all in and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Amen. Moms, dads, change the direction of your family by surrendering to Jesus. You don't have to blend in. Students, children, change the direction of your campus, your college campus, your high school campus, your middle school campus. Be the one that stands out for Jesus Christ. Be the one that goes all in and surrenders. You'll be changing your family tree, your family genealogy. It'll be all now for Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would surrender today, when you're presented with the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we surrender. Maybe for the first time, or maybe it's just been a while where we kind of grab the reins back. Lord, we just want to surrender to you, Jesus. We pray, Father, that you've got a mighty work. And Father, we want to go all in. We don't want to ride this fence anymore, Lord Jesus. And you know what we've been holding back. You know those areas that we've been kind of holding on to, and we just surrender them to you. We lay them at your feet, Father. We thank you that you went to the cross for us so we could have the hope of a risen Savior and the hope of forgiveness and the incredible, good, amazing grace. May it be rich in our lives today. And Father, we surrender it to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way I won't bow to the things of this world. The name, but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. So good to see you, and nice to see the little warmer weather this week as well. That'll be great, and thanks for Fortress Ballet being here. You guys were incredibly wonderful, and thanks for worshiping with us today as well. And if you're able to stay just for a few minutes after, we stack up the chairs on this side so that our WANA ministry can do their games in here as well, you're able to stay for a few moments afterwards. Hear the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a blessed week.